タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタタラ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are talking about other forms of crafting that can be meditative and help you get into that flow state. We discuss meditative fiber arts and crafts and lots of project ideas that will leave you inspired to get ready to relax.
I am so ready to relax. Are you ready?
I'm ready. This is going to be like a shoulder massage for your ears.
Thanks to Nomad Yarns for supporting Love to Sew. Nomad Yarns is a husband and wife yarn shop team. They hand dye a range of yarns, design their own patterns, teach virtual classes, and bring all their crafting adventures to your ears with their podcast, Nomad Yarners. They also run their yarn shop a little differently. They drive their shop around on a truck to shows in Indiana and the Midwest USA.
Ooh, like an ice cream truck, but better. Want to try one of their knit or crochet patterns? Use the coupon code LOVETOSEW to get a free one of your choice. Plus, get $5 off beginning knitting or beginning crochet from nomadyarnshop.com using the code LOVETOSEW.
Thanks also to Esther's Fabrics for supporting Love to Sew. Located on beautiful Bainbridge Island in the foggy Puget Sound, Esther's Fabrics is a Washington sewing institution.
They have a beautiful selection of curated modern quilting fabric, fashion fabric, and craft supplies. They love sewing, just like us, and love to help everyone from beginners to experts find the perfect fabric for their unique sewing creation.
For the rest of June, get 10% off your next purchase from Esther's Fabrics by going to estersfabrics.com and using coupon code LOVETOSEW. That's estersfabrics.com, coupon code LOVETOSEW. And now on to the show. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
I'm trying to be less intense with my voice right now.
Ooh,
is it working?
Keeping it nice and
low key.
Smooth and low key and relaxing.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
To go with the theme of the episode, which was actually one of your ideas.
Yes. I actually got this idea when I was making a bunch of masks, which maybe isn't very relaxing for our listeners to think about, but that's where the idea came from.
And what was it about the making of the masks that got you thinking about this? Was it because you were stressed out?
No, it was actually because it turned into this sort of assembly line thing where I was cutting and sewing a whole bunch of masks, and I learned some like efficiencies as I was doing it. And I ended up sewing masks for hours and hours. And it was interesting because I got into a flow state, and the actual, as much as on the one hand, sewing masks was a little bit depressing and probably wasn't my favorite thing I've ever done, I did find it kind of meditative.
I can understand that.
That repetitive kind of motion and the doing the same steps over and over again and coming out with a simple project that was really achievable in just a few hours felt really satisfying to me. And I was like, we should talk about this on the show. We should talk about ideas for projects that you can do at home as a creative person that's going to relax you, make you feel calm, and still be able to give you that like creative sort of satisfaction that you are craving as somebody who likes, you know, hobbies like sewing.
Yeah, exactly. And it also paired well with an idea we had to do an episode about sewing adjacent hobbies, because a lot of the things that we brainstormed that were more on the meditative side weren't specific to garment sewing. They were actually other forms of crafts that we've touched on the show a little bit, but it's nice to bring them to the forefront. So I'm excited to chat about this today.
I am too. And we have so many great ideas to share. But first, I think we need to get to some feedback and questions.
Yes, we have some feedback from Amy that I just love. So I'll read it to you. Hello, ladies. Love the show and I listen to it regularly. I cannot remember what episode it was in. You were talking about pattern hacks. A sewist had written in and said that she hacked a pattern to have a side zipper at the expense of her inseam pockets. I want to shout this to the rooftops. There are no rules about how many pockets a garment is allowed to have. One, two, three, five. It's up to you. I recently discovered the self and I've been using a single pocket on the opposite side of the zipper. I've never once been ashamed of this lack of symmetry and thankful every time just to have a space to carry the bare essentials when needed. Whew, just needed that out there. A pocket is a pocket, even if it's all by itself.
That's the beauty of sewing at home, is that you can just have one pocket and it doesn't matter. It's your choice. You get to make that choice.
You totally do. You can even have a pocket and a zipper in the same area. It's possible. You can.
You definitely can. I have a funny story to share. I purchased a jumpsuit thrift store like years and years ago, and it only had one pocket. It was like an elastic waist little jumpsuit, like 70s style, and it had a pocket only on the right side, no pocket on the left side. And I was so confused. I was like, why is there only one pocket? And there wasn't a zipper or anything. So like, there was not really a reason for there to be only one pocket. And then when I read this message from Amy, I was imagining the person sewing it, like forgetting to put in the pocket on one side and then deciding, there are no rules about pockets. I'm just going to put a pocket on the other side and it doesn't matter. She's like, one pocket's better than no pockets. And that's just how I think fondly of this jumpsuit now.
Yeah. And you can add pockets too. We get really excited as sewists often when patterns include pockets, which is wonderful. We see that phrase, it has pockets, around in the sewing world. And it's really cute. Just how excited we get about functional pockets. And you can just add them. If the pattern doesn't have them, you can stick on patch pockets. You can add inseam pockets. You can put pockets on the back, on the front, on the chest, on the shoulders, on the sleeves, wherever you want to put them. It's up to you.
Yeah. Pockets are amazing. Yep. And we love them. All right. I'm going to read an email question that we got from Rebecca. Hello, ladies. I need advice. I've been sewing my whole life and took an apparel technology costume cutting program in college, so I'm not a beginner sewer. But I have a problem. I'm such a slow sewer. It takes me double the time to make things than the average person. I've just found the online sewing community on Instagram this past year. I'm at Becca's Button Boutique, if you want to see. And I want to take part in it and these contests and events, but by the time I make something for Me Made May, it'll be July. What do I do? Thanks for being a ray of positivity.
Oh, I bet so many people can relate to this email and this thought. And you might not be as slow as you think. I think a lot of people take a lot of time to make their makes, and that's okay. And of course, when we're looking at Instagram Reel, the highlight feed, like everything that's happening on there, it makes it seem like everything's moving faster than it really is. Mm-hmm. And so you're probably not alone in your slow sewing, and you're definitely not alone in feeling like you're falling behind on some of these contests and events.
Yeah, definitely. I think even if you make like four things a year, that's four more things that you get to wear for Me Made May next year. So don't be too hard on yourself. It's not a competition. You have to do what's best for you. There's no like magic trick that's going to make you a different sewer than you are. I think you're the sewer that you are, especially you mentioned you've been sewing your whole life. That's just your vibe, and that's totally okay. There is nothing wrong with taking your time and being a little bit slower at sewing. I think project planning could help you to at least ensure that you're sewing things that are going to fit with your life and your style, and that the things that you do sew are going to be things that you're going to love and that you're going to want to wear and that you will get to utilize during competitions or, you know, fun months like Me Made May. We have a whole episode about planning projects. That's episode 58, if you haven't listened to it already. I also think if you want to try and see how you can speed things up, you can check out our speedy sewing episode. There are some tips in there that might help you to cut some corners and get things done a little bit quicker. But really, at the end of the day, just do you.
Yeah, just do you and embrace it. And Me Made May doesn't have to be about sharing things you've already made. It can also be about making stuff.
Yes.
I see a lot of pledges, or my pledge for Me Made May is to make my first pair of Hudson pants. Mm-hmm. That's all it has to be. It's a beautiful pledge.
And it could just be work on your first pair of Hudson pants. It doesn't even have to be completing your first pair of Hudson pants.
It could just be think about making Hudson pants.
Really, it can be whatever you want it to be.
I like that this ties in well to our topic for today, because one of our tips for speedy sewing is to do batch sewing, where you're cutting out multiple versions of something, or maybe you're making multiple things using the same color. So you're making a black pair of pants and a black top at the same time, so you don't need to change your thread in your machine. There's lots of different ways you can sort of speed up the process when you're working with sewing, and that can also help you get into that flow state.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so meditative crafting can be a way to de-stress and just be more mindful in the simplicity of crafting. It's also something that you can possibly do while you're watching TV or listening to an audiobook, something that doesn't take all of your brain power focusing on that thing. You can be a little bit distracted by other things. So I think it's helpful to have these go-to crafting things that you can do when you just need a little bit of a break from the regular crafting that you do.
Exactly. A low-pressure activity that helps you to relax your mind, even though maybe your hands are busy. I find that when I'm doing something repetitive and my hands might be really busy and my body might be kind of physically focused on what I'm doing, but my mind is able to relax. And that's something that I really like about sewing, because now that I'm at the point where I can sew without thinking too much about every step, I find it to be very relaxing.
Mm-hmm, me too. Also, getting immersed in sewing or a meditative craft of your choice can be a creative release, and it can result in you feeling really proud of what you made. And of course, you're going to get enjoyment in that making process. So it can be a really huge win at the end of the day if you can finish a project in just a few hours and feel that satisfaction of completing something.
Mm-hmm. So Caroline, tell me, what are your favorite meditative crafts?
So obviously sewing can be meditative a lot of the time for me. I really like simple, quick sews, like things that I have sewn before or that I know all of the techniques. So no new to me techniques equals meditative for me, because usually I can just kind of go through the steps and there's not too much thinking involved. I also really like repetitive sewing, sewing where I'm not having to even look at instructions, where I kind of know what's next, where it's really, really simple. So like cloth napkins or even masks, where I've made 50 of them, so I know exactly what I need to do next and I don't really have to think about it. And I can do that kind of thing assembly line style. So you do one fold and then you sew it and then you do the fold on the next one and you sew that. And it's kind of like, you know, you just get into this flow state that is really, really, really nice and relaxing for me. I also find hand sewing buttons, especially when I'm not on a deadline, I find that really relaxing, because I can take my project over to the TV and chill out with Pepper laying down next to me and just like sew my buttons. And there's no like timeline. I just am sewing to sew. There's no, you know, I don't have to think about how long it's going to take. I really like macrame too. I think macrame is one of those things where you're kind of doing, it's almost like making a friendship bracelet. You're kind of doing that same repetitive motion over and over again to the point where you can almost completely zone out and not even be thinking about what you're doing. But then you end up with this really beautiful, fun kind of woven project in the end. And currently for me, I mean, we're not going to talk about this on the show because it's not really a fiber art, but pottery. I am so into wheel throwing right now. Shay and I got in as members at our local pottery studio and they're doing private sessions. So we're able to just go in on our own and have the whole place to ourselves. And it's been just so relaxing and fun. And when I get on that wheel and like throw just something really simple, it's, I'm in that point in this craft where I feel like I'm getting the hang of it and I don't have to think about it so much. And there's something about getting your hands dirty with clay and like not caring about being dirty and being full of clay and just kind of like really immersing yourself into it. What about you?
I agree that sewing something tried and true is a go-to for me. If I've made it before, I can make it again. And maybe I'll even make multiple versions if it's something that I really, really like. Like I need some fresh t-shirts or I need some more undies in my wardrobe and I can assembly line, make a bunch of things. I'm also pretty into knitting. I go through phases, but right now I'm working on a stripy sweater that's just stockinette. So, you know, you can just go around and around and around. Very, very relaxing. But I also love doing color work projects. And even though They require me to think a little bit more because I'm working with multiple colors and I have to follow a chart and make sure that I'm picking up the right color for every stitch. So I'm often very, very focused. It's that hyper focused level of thinking that allows me to not think about anything else, if that makes sense. Like I have to only think about that. I also am really into gardening these days. Not really a craft, but it's new to me because we just moved to a house and I was living in an apartment before. We didn't have any plants or any yard. So it's very exciting to have so much garden to work on and so many plants to tend to. And we're trying to grow vegetables and I'm trying to take care of all my rhododendrons and learning so, so much. And it's very exciting. So that has been a welcome distraction and a very meditative space for me these days as well.
Oh, I could see gardening being so meditative. And you're, again, like getting your hands dirty and kind of kneeling on the ground and feeling like you're one with the earth. Like, I feel like that would be just like so relaxing for me too.
If by one with the earth you mean that I'm covered in dirt, then yes, correct.
Exactly. I would just be like rolling around in my garden. Probably not good for the plants, but this is why I don't own a home yet.
Thanks to Nomad Yarns for supporting Love to Sew. Since we all had to miss Spring Fiber Festival season this year, Nomad Yarns is bringing it to you instead. Each month, Nomad Yarns is teaming up with another local artisan to bring you the best of festival season.
Each box contains a Nomad Yarn skein, themed notions, a specially curated item from another local small business, and info about it all on an original 5x7 art card, plus exclusive digital content. Boxes start at $40, including shipping, and are available from the 1st to the 21st of each month and ship the 1st of the following month. June's box is available now. Its theme is diversity and features products by two of their favorite LGBTQ plus owned businesses.
Nomad Yarns also makes beginner's kits. Think all this yarn stuff sounds cool but not sure how to do any of it? They'll get you started with beginner knitting, crochet, or spinning and mail you absolutely everything you need to make your first project. For a limited time, Love to Sew listeners can get $5 off their beginner's kit using the code LOVETOSEW.
Go to nomadyarns.com to check out all the amazing hand yarns, knitting patterns, kits, and to check out their podcast, Nomad Yarners. Want to try one of their knit or crochet patterns? Use the coupon code LOVETOSEW to get a free one of your choice.
Well, I think that meditative sewing and crafting can mean different things for different people. So, for example, some sewists love hand sewing and would consider that to be a really nice sort of flow state moment in their sewing practice. But on the flip side, other people might be quite stressed out by hand sewing and would avoid it at all costs. So it's not necessarily that everything we're going to mention today is going to resonate with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to take some time to think about what parts of sewing you really enjoy. So we talked about this a little bit in our sewing self-care episode, but figure out what those are. And those could be those parts that you save for the moments when you need a little bit of meditation in the form of crafting.
Yeah. So let's talk about some project ideas. First up, a great meditative sewing project would be a patchwork quilt. And Denise Archer chatted with us about the patchwork quilt that she made during her chemotherapy treatment on her Sewing Through Cancer episode and how putting those two pieces of fabric together and just sewing simple straight stitches was very calming for her. And it was about all that she could do at the time. And it got her through that phase in her life and was really important for her. So I love thinking about that story as it relates to sewing and how we can use sewing as this really calming place and presence in our life.
Yeah, I remember her saying all she could really do was take one piece of fabric, butt it up against another piece of fabric and sew. And that really resonated with me as well. And I've definitely been itching to make a quilt lately for that reason, because I think it would be just such a nice release and relaxation from the regular sewing that we normally do. And the world is really your oyster when it comes to making your own patchwork quilt. You can get creative with colors or how the pieces are going to come together, or just use scraps and cut out basic shapes like a square. That's a really simple way to put together a quilt without like a quote-unquote pattern. We'll also link a beginner quilt patterns roundup by Polka Dot Chair in the show notes to give you some inspiration. One thing I'm also really inspired by right now is improv quilting. So that is literally just taking two pieces of fabric and sewing them together and kind of just going with the flow, it can create some really cool organic shapes. There usually isn't really a plan that you go in with, and you just sort of let it take you where it takes you. And there's some really amazing quilts out there that have been made with this style. But yeah, I really want to make a scrap quilt with all my linen scraps.
Oh my gosh, you should do it. I can imagine the color palette, like Blackbird Fabrics color palette in a quilt.
Yeah, I know. I think it would be really pretty. And I really want to do just like some simple small squares, all the same size, and just kind of build up blocks as I go and not have a timeline in mind. Like, when will I finish? Who knows? Maybe in 10, 15 years. And then I'll have a quilt that, like, I don't know, memorializes 15 years of linen sewing.
It sounds amazing.
I think it does. Yeah.
Batch sewing simple projects. You mentioned sewing napkins. I think that's a great idea. Or sewing neckerchiefs. Yes. I was wearing a neckerchief in one of my Instagram stories recently, and I got some comments from people about it saying how cute it was. And it got me thinking about what an amazing scrap busting project that is. You just need a little square left over from one of your projects, and you just finish those edges and tie it around your neck, and bam, style.
So simple. Oh, Pepper looks so cute in a neckerchief. I should really make her some out of scraps.
And you could do a bunch of them at once too. You don't even need the perfect matching thread. You could just sew them all together. And yeah, what a fun project.
Yeah, exactly. Other batch sewing ideas could be bunting, coasters, scrunchies, reusable makeup remover pads. You have a tutorial for that on your blog. Tote bags, even like small quilted items. Like, you can even quilt coasters or placemats or table runners. So it doesn't feel like such a monumental task. You're making a whole quilt. You can just make little quilted things.
Yeah, totally.
You could also consider making some gifts here for upcoming holidays. Get really ahead on things. Why not get them out of the way while you're in the flow of batch sewing?
Yeah. And another meditative sewing idea we have is to dive into your mending pile. We did a whole episode about mending, and oftentimes the items that end up in our mending piles don't require a lot of mental energy. They just require a little bit of time, like sewing on a button that's fallen off or hemming a pair of pants doesn't require a lot of thought. You just need to sort of sit down and actually spend the time. Go for it.
What about knitting and crochet? Because that, I think, is super meditative for some people.
Yes. I mean, like I said, the stockinette stitch, especially if you're knitting in the round and you can just go and go and go and it's endless. So relaxing. I've made a couple of the Pearl Soho classic cuffed hats. Once you get past the ribbing, it's just stockinette in a circle, and they're really, really fun, and they have all the sizes, so you can make them for anyone in your family.
Oh, that's a really, really great tip. Yeah, knitting is a much slower craft than sewing. It really has that kind of meditative, slow fashion pace to it. Crocheting is a bit faster, but I think it could be equally as meditative for some people.
And if anyone out there is thinking about learning to knit or crochet, it can be a little intimidating, just like when we learn to sew, but just requires that repetitive motion. So you just have to get your hands used to the motion. You have to build that muscle memory, pick it up, you know, for 15 to 20 minutes a day. And eventually you're going to build up to being able to pick up your project and just start knitting and feel those relaxing vibes. One YouTube channel we can recommend is Very Pink Knits. It's such a great place to learn knitting stitches, super clear and short tutorials on how to do every single stitch. So you can get right to the help that you need and then get back to your project.
That's a great tip. I have a question for you about knitting.
What's that?
I definitely still find knitting really stressful. And like, I try to get started and I just get really frustrated a lot of the time. Like, a couple weeks ago, I tried to get started on a hat and I just couldn't figure out why my like casting on looked wrong. And I want to be a fearless knitter. Like, I want to just be able to pick it up and work on a project and feel like it's relaxing. But like, how do you get past that roadblock of feeling like you're just a perpetual beginner every time you pick up your knitting needles? Like, I'm still at that point and I find it so frustrating.
Yeah. Oh man. I think I don't have a perfect answer for this, but I can definitely relate, because when I started to knit, it took me so many times to get into it. Like I started so many projects and then I would go months at a time without touching them and pick them up and have no idea what was going on. And I really relied heavily on my knitting friends to help me. Like the first few times I dropped a stitch, I literally like walked to my friend's workplace so that he could fix it for me because I had no idea what to do. Like it's just like panic set in.
Yeah.
So it did take me quite a few tries to learn. So there's that. And I think the only tip that I have would be to try to have there be less time in between your knitting sessions so that when you are learning those tips, you pick up your project and you're not quite sure, maybe you get past that hurdle and you start knitting and then put it down for a few weeks. When you come back, you're not sure again. So trying to pick it up every few days, and even if you're just knitting for 10 minutes, because I do think it takes a while to build up the strength in your hands to go for a longer period of time too. When I first started knitting, I couldn't do more than like 30 minutes at a time before my hands would get tired.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Building those muscles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do it. I know you can do it.
I really want to. Like, I really, really want to, but I still haven't gotten past that point. I'll update you guys if I ever do.
I wish you could go in person to like a knitting store and ask for their help, but maybe you can just send me pictures and I'll let you know.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely crochet also can take a little bit of practice. Some people think that it's easier than knitting, but that's maybe debatable. But I think it's a really similar craft in that it's that repetitive motion and you're kind of making similar items. And I think it can be equally as meditative as knitting.
I actually went through a big crochet phase.
Did you?
Yeah, I made tons of cowls on my way to work. I used to ride the bus to work for like 2 hours a day, each direction.
Whoa.
So I had a lot of time on the bus. So I would make crochet cowls. I probably made like 12 of them. And it was super meditative. It's really satisfying. You get that hook and you're going in and grabbing the yarn as you go along. I loved it.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I've seen some really cool crocheted sweaters out there. Like, it's not necessarily always going to be like those granny squares. I think there's some really modern crochet projects that you can find out there. So check that out if you're interested in getting into crocheting. There's also some really great beginner-friendly knitting and crochet patterns on Ravelry.com, which is an online database that has hundreds of patterns. So if you have not heard of Ravelry and you want to get into knitting or crochet, definitely check it out. But we have a few ideas for you for projects.
Yeah, the diagonal comfort blanket is so simple. It's mostly all just the knit stitch and it looks super cozy.
Yeah, and we'll link that in the show notes. There's also something called the granny stripe blanket. It's a crochet pattern. It's free. It's a great yarn scrap buster and super beginner friendly.
Past guest Elise Blaha Kripe is doing her 100-day project right now, and it's 100 days to making a quilted blanket. So she's doing one square a day, and it's so cool. Caroline, you should do this.
I know. Well, yeah, and then it's just squares, right? So it's pretty simple.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. It's gorgeous.
Isn't it cool?
So you do a different type of stitch for every square in the blanket.
Yeah, she's, well, not every square. I think she's repeating some techniques, but definitely like mixing up the yarn and trying new things. And then she's like blocking them so that they're all laying flat and the same size at the end. Wow. Yeah, it's been really, really fun to follow along with her scrap. I guess it's a scrap quilt in a way.
Scrap.
I think she's using scraps of yarn. I don't know.
Knitted quilted blanket.
It's 100 days to knit a blanket, and I can't wait to see the finished blanket. Elise is so inspiring to me because she, I don't know, I just think she like throws herself into these 100-day projects, and giving up is just like not an option for her. Like, she rarely gives up on like these big projects that she shares on Instagram, and I just really love following along on her crafting journey. I find her really inspiring. Hi Elise.
I
know she listens to the podcast. Ba 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 ba
Thanks to Esther's Fabrics for supporting Love to Sew. Esther's is one of the oldest fabric shops in the state of Washington, started in 1959 by Esther Fox and her feisty poodle, Sibone, to realize her dream of providing fabric and sewing classes to Bainbridge Island. Esther Fox is no longer with us, but she lives through the women of Bainbridge who have owned and cared for the store ever since.
At Esther's, they offer a carefully curated selection of beautiful fabrics of all kinds, including quilting cottons, organic fabrics and thread, Japanese fabrics, double gauze, silks, linens, a fantastic selection of wools, high quality rayons, gorgeous apparel cottons, and so much more. They also have an extensive selection of buttons and ribbons, not to mention cross stitch, sashiko, embroidery supplies and kits, and beautiful merino wool felt.
Whew. Wow, they pride themselves on their service, and the Esther staff are all people who have a love of sewing, and it really shows. Since they've had to put their wonderful variety of in-person classes and events on hold at the moment, Esther's Fabrics welcomes all levels of sewists to come and check out their brand new website, just as if you were visiting the store. They'll even match threads and buttons for your fabric purchase if you want. Just click on the Notions and Matching Services in the pull-down menu.
That is so cool. And for the rest of June, get 10% off your next purchase from Esther's Fabrics by going to estersfabrics.com and using coupon code LOVETOSEW. That's estersfabrics.com, coupon code LOVETOSEW for 10% off.
So other items you could make are things for your home, like dishcloths, super easy. If you're knitting them, you would want to use a cotton yarn, and you can make a ton of these and save them as gifts.
You can also make a shawl or a wrap. The Elementary Wrap by Pearl Soho looks like a great wardrobe staple and a great option for those chillier summer nights. Another great simple shawl pattern is the European Road Trip Shawl by Espace Tricot. That one looks really nice and simple, kind of solid color design.
Yeah.
I'm really into that one.
I think for me, when I was getting started with knitting, my favorite projects were small ones. So I made a bunch of baby hats because around that time my niece was just born. So I made her a baby hat and I made some baby hats for other friends. And it was such a small project and it really got me into the knitting because I could see the light at the end of the tunnel working my way to the top of that little tiny baby hat. And it didn't take a super long time. So definitely recommend. I use the Pearl Soho ear flap hat and it's a free pattern on their site. It's a good one.
Cute. Yeah, Pearl Soho has some great free patterns.
They really do.
I also think weaving is another fiber art craft that can be super creative and relaxing. And you can use yarn scraps or buy specific yarns for weaving. But I just think you end up with this beautiful piece at the end that you can hang on your wall if you're doing like a tapestry style weaving, or you can turn it into a pillow, or there's so much that you can do with weaving. And I just think it's a really, really fun craft to learn. Mm-hmm.
You could also save your fabric scraps and use those in your weaving. Maybe you mix them with the yarn and it's like a mixed media experience, or maybe you're just using the fabric scraps and that's a great way to use them up and make some art out of them.
Oh yeah. I have been thinking that it would be so cool to make like a huge loom for the warehouse and kind of add to it slowly with strips of fabric scraps that we have lying around, because we generate quite a few fabric scraps when we're cutting orders. We saw something similar at our tapestry weaving class when we were at Emily Carr, right?
Yeah, we did.
And they had this huge piece and it was kind of community driven, like people would come in and add to it. And I was like, oh, that would be so cool to do at my office.
You should do that. I love that idea.
Yes. So of course, with weaving, the first project that comes to mind is a tapestry wall hanging. A Beautiful Mess, the blog, has a really, really great post on how to get started and how to use some simple weaving techniques to make a beautiful wall hanging.
We also found a blog post by Haley that has some really dreamy weaving inspiration, along with a roundup of some tutorials that we'll link in the show notes. You guys have to check this out. It's like there's yarn like bursting out of these tapestries into beautiful hanging flower arrangements and leaves, and it's like a jungle almost. It's really hard to describe, but they're so freaking cool.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of great resources in this post, and I love those ones that look like they're kind of bursting out, like they're little pom-poms coming out of the weaving almost.
Yeah, three-dimensional.
Yeah, you can do such cool stuff with weaving. Do you weave anymore? What's your sitch with weaving?
Well, I really had a great time taking that one day class with you a few years back, and since then I have built myself a little lap loom and I've made a few weavings. I have one on the go right now. I started a couple months ago. Sometimes sometimes when I'm really not feeling sewing or knitting, weaving is kind of like my third on the list. So I don't get to it that often because I do love sewing and knitting so much. But every once in a while, weaving is exactly what I need. It's just an escape from both those hobbies. And I like that I don't have to have a plan or a pattern. I'm not weaving a specific thing or following a guideline. I'm just picking up yarn that I think is pretty and putting it in the weaving.
Yeah, I like weaving because it has kind of a lower barrier to entry. There's a lot of like DIY lap looms that you can do with just even pieces of cardboard that work perfectly well. And you don't have to buy that expensive yarn that you would potentially want for like a sweater or something that's going to be touching your skin. You can go to Michael's and pick some cheap yarn out just based on color, and it can be pretty inexpensive to put together a weaving on a budget. And it's also just like a different way to play with color and pattern. It can be a great scrap buster if you're a knitter, because you might have all those like little scraps at the end of projects, and putting those into a weaving could be really fun. So yeah, I just think it's like a fun craft that you can do while you're watching TV, and very, very relaxing.
Definitely. Yeah. The only thing I will say is it's a little hard on the fingers sometimes.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You can buy those like tools to kind of help you weave through. And I think it's also one of those things that I think your fingers would get used to, like playing the guitar.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. You're going to build up some weaving calluses. Okay. What about punch needle? Because I'm seeing it everywhere and it looks really relaxing.
I am so interested in learning more about punch needle. I really want to take a class and just figure out how to do it, because I think it would be such a fun project to do at home as well. You use this punch needle tool and canvas, and you essentially punch the canvas with strips of yarn or fabric to get this really cool kind of like looped effect. You can make rugs with this technique. You can make wall hangings. You can make like, you know, pillow fronts. There's so many cool opportunities for design with punch needle. Josie from Hey Miss Designs even made punch needle pockets for her Pona jacket.
Oh, I loved
Mind
that.
Blown.
They were so cool. That's what really sold me on punch needle. I mean, I'd seen it around. I thought it was really, really interesting. But seeing her use it in a garment just made my mind go like, whoa.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Opportunities are endless.
I know. I could see a really cool punch needle yoke on the back of a jean jacket. I could see like elbow patches. I could see... oh my gosh, I don't know, like if you want to go crazy and do some kind of like a shoulder detail
on it.
A blazer. Like, I just think there are so many opportunities to just incorporate that into sewing, but also into home decor. I love a good home decor project.
Yeah.
And I love the look of those kind of like pillow covers that have like a lot of texture to them and sort of abstract designs. And you can definitely do that with punch needle. If you're looking for some dreamy punch needle inspo, definitely check out Arona from Buku and Rose Perlman. Both of those ladies are super inspiring and they have amazing Instagrams that can definitely get you started on your journey.
Yes, for sure. Okay, next up we have embroidery, which is another great slow activity that if you keep it simple, it can be so relaxing and rewarding. Even if you want to take it complex, I think it could still be really relaxing. Maybe it will help you get into that mental state where you're so focused on the thing that you're doing that you don't have time to think about anything else.
Yeah, I think the key with these projects, like whether they're big or small, is not having a timeline in mind. Like for me, the most relaxing thing would be to not set any expectations for myself about how it's going to look in the end or how long it's going to take me, and just kind of let myself be inspired by the project and kind of taken away into this like flow of just creating versus thinking so much about the final product.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't need to know a ton of stitches to start embroidering. The type of stitch that you use does depend on what you want to embroider and the look that you want to have, but you can just do a simple satin stitch or just a simple running stitch, just filling in space with the color, like petals on a flower. I did some embroidery on an Ashton top. There's an article on my blog about it. And I just used that satin stitch. I didn't like separate the floss at all. I used like the full floss. Wasn't really thinking as I was doing it. I was just making like the kind of flowers that you doodle when you're a kid and you make like five circles and you put a dot in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be complicated, right?
Yeah.
There are definitely some really cool opportunities for embroidery in sewing. So like you mentioned, your embroidered Ashton top is a really great example. Just some simple embroidery in the shoulder area really elevated that garment. You can do embroidery around patches on jeans or perhaps on a back pocket. I remember feeling really inspired by Elisa Lex. She did an embroidery project where I think she had flowers coming up from the hem of her vintage jeans. So it looked like they were growing up from the ground. That was really cool. But again, it can be big or small. It doesn't have to be a whole, you know, embroidered piece of art. It can just be little touches of embroidery on your handmade garments.
Yeah, and you can embroider your home items as well. We've talked about making pillows and napkins and things like that, putting a little touch on the napkin. Maybe it's like your initials or you and your partner's initials. When my friend got married, she gave everyone in our wedding party little handkerchief napkins that had our first initial embroidered on them. She does a lot of embroidery, so it was like a really touching project. And I'm sure it was fun to do because you're just working on making that single letter and you don't have to think too hard about more of the design beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like a really sweet gift.
Yeah.
Well, I'm feeling really inspired to incorporate some of these meditative crafts into my kind of day-to-day routine, and I'm actually thinking about doing a 100-day project.
Ooh, you've been talking about this for years.
I know. Thanks for the reminder, Ellen. No, I definitely have, and I haven't pulled the trigger on that yet because it is a little bit intimidating to do something for 100 days, but I could see 100 days of meditative crafting being a thing.
What kind of crafts are you going to do? Or do you want to just let the journey take you where it may?
I kind of want to let it take me where it may and probably pull some inspiration from this episode because we gave so many great examples, but it could be a way to not feel like it's too repetitive and give me a little bit of leeway. So maybe one day I do knitting and one day I do some embroidery and one day I do some sewing and then the next day I do some tapestry weaving.
Ooh.
And it'll just be a way for me to get some crafting into my day to day more than I already do. I don't know.
I like that idea.
Playing around with that idea.
I'm feeling particularly inspired by the improvisational quilting part of this because I've never tried quilting and I'm a little, I think the reason is that I'm a bit of a sloppy sewist. I've said it on the show before. I can get a little crazy with my sewing and I don't worry too much about everything being precise. And I know that in quilting, it's very important to be precise. So I'm not sure that my style of sewing is going to match up so well with quilting. But with the improvisational quilting, I think I could have a little bit more leeway and have a little bit more fun with it. And that might be a good way for me to get into it.
Yeah, definitely. Ooh, okay. These all sound like really great ideas. We want to know what meditative crafts help you to slow down and enjoy the process of crafting. Tag us in an Instagram story or a post, comment on one of our social posts this week. Let us know what you've got going on. Inspire us. Tell us what we missed. I can't wait to hear from you guys.
Yeah, we hope you find a flow state in your upcoming projects.
Thanks to Nomad Yarns for supporting Love to Sew. Go to nomadyarns.com to check out all the amazing hand-dyed yarns, knitting patterns, kits, and check out their podcast, Nomad Yarners.
Want to try one of their knit or crochet patterns? Use the code LOVETOSEW to get a free one of your choice. Plus, Love to Sew listeners can get $5 off their beginner's kit by using the code LOVETOSEW at nomadyarns.com.
Thanks also to Esther's Fabrics for supporting Love to Sew. With their beautiful curated fabrics and helpful personalized service, Esther's Fabrics wants to help you realize your creative vision.
For the rest of June, get 10% off your next purchase from Esther's Fabrics by going to estersfabrics.com and using coupon code LOVETOSEW. That's estersfabrics.com, coupon code LOVETOSEW. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Helen, at helenscloset.patterns.com, and you can find Caroline at blackbirdfabrics.com.
I'm recording today in Vancouver, Canada.
And I'm in Courtney, Canada.
And you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're enjoying the show and you want to help us out, you can support us over on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month, you get access to our bonus episode every month. Contribute $10 or more a month, you get a 15% discount code for both of our shops, which basically pays for itself if you're shopping at Blackbird, and a bonus mini episode. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
Thank you to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister. And thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bias tape. Or a, what's it called? A snoo or a, like a, what were you just talking about?
A cowl?
A cowl. Why do I want to say snoo? Isn't snoo a thing?
I think a snood is a thing.
A snood?
Isn't that like a hood with gloves on it?
Okay, never mind.